Yeah.
Although not that loud.
Hello, and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics, Adventures of a Would-Be Counsellor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel, and I'm a local resident of Bedminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig, and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners. I can't see any evidence to support your claim.
We can talk about local issues. Bedminster Town Council has never funded Pride Bridge.
We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
So I can't promise the world. But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like and share to get up-to-date episodes. Hi, Craig. We're a couple of days late, aren't we? We're a little bit late doing this.
Yeah, it's my fault. I've been really busy doing all sorts of different things. And now I'm sporting not one, but two ear infections. So I can't actually hear you, but I'm going to do my best.
Well, that's your excuse, isn't it?
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I know. Both of us feel a bit ropey today, don't we? But never mind. Yeah. We're gonna
soldier on.
We'll soldier on for our million viewers and listeners. You know, we wouldn't want to let them down.
Maybe not.
So, well, what have you been busy with then? You said you've been busy. What have you been doing?
Yeah, I've been busy. Well, lots of different things, really. Obviously, I wear a few different hats, so we've been quite busy at town council with different meetings and things that we've had to go through, which is great. I was driving the CB3 bus again this weekend, which obviously takes up quite a bit of time. And I got my nomination papers submitted to Dorset Council. So I'm just waiting for the letter to come through to confirm that I'm on the ballot paper or that I've made an absolute mess of the form. I've got to do it all over again.
Which, you know, wouldn't be surprising if it was the
a good chance.
Yeah. How was the bus? Was it good? You got your new bus?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. A few bits just to sort of sort out. Our old bus is on eBay, so if anybody listening that wants to buy a 16-seater Octair bus, perfect for conversion into big camper vans or small business kind of festival type vehicles, then get in touch.
That's what I wanted it for. I wanted to turn it into
like
a camper
moving bar.
van. Well, not a bar. Well, you could do that as well. It's long enough.
Plenty of space.
Did we buy any bus then? You were going to do that.
Well, I looked into it, but it wasn't a great price, so we've put it on eBay. We've had nearly 2,000 people look at it, so I'm sure we'll sell it.
Yeah, good.
But to
good.
A new worthy home.
Well, and you're a trooper because you're doing the bus quite a lot of them, driving the bus quite a lot at the moment because you need drivers, don't you? And you're stepping in and doing that rather than you know, reducing the service. So.
Yeah, there's three of us, to be fair, that are sort of doing quite a few shifts to keep it sort of going. So any listeners that fancy joining the volunteer bus team, you'd be more than welcome. Yeah, get in touch and we'll get you trained up and get you driving the bus. It's good fun.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, let's dive into the questions that we've had on social. It's been a little bit quieter this week, which has been nice, I'm sure, for you.
Yeah.
You've had a question from our local resident, Joe Robbins. It's a really considered question, which was via Facebook. In your campaign materials, you say you are campaigning for greater available funding for local charities, including the Prout Bridge project. What do you mean by that? And how exactly are you doing it? I ask because under your leadership, the town council has recently cut all funding to the Prout Bridge project. The charity is working tirelessly to fundraise to plug service gaps arising from Conservative Dorset Council cuts to youth work, to family support, to community support. Can you provide any assurance of deeds behind your words? I can't see any evidence to support your claim, but I would love to be proved wrong.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so first of all, Joe, thanks for the question. I know I have actually sort of tried to answer it in text, but I thought... It's actually a really important question, so it seemed to be good on the podcast as well. So, Joe, I'll do my best to answer that as fully as I can. So starting, going back to kind of the history of the funding of Pratt Bridge. So going way back before Dorset Council actually existed, and it was the West Dorset District and Dorset County and all the different councils that existed before that. I believe that funding to certain sort of public groups was cut through the different councils that no longer exist. And obviously in 2016, Pratt Bridge became a charity, so it was able to carry on. So it actually created itself as an entity outside of sort of council services anyway. Now, sort of fast forward slightly, one part of the question that I just wanted to clarify is with regards to the town council under my leadership cutting funding to Pratt Bridge. So that's not actually true. Bedminster Town Council has never funded Pratt Bridge. What we have done is we have awarded grants to Pratt Bridge fairly regularly, along with other charity groups. But last year, because of our own issues with our budgets, we had to suspend the grant process. That's now back live again. And I've had a meeting with representatives from Pratt Bridge, and I've told them kind of face to face that there is grants they can apply for. And I've also just clarified the point so they are fully aware that we have never funded Pratt Bridge. And I just think it's important because people might think that we've cut funding to a charity when that's never been the case. And I know Pratt Bridge know that as well as the council. So that's kind of that bit. But there is funding now available. There's a new policy in place, and Pratt Bridge are obviously really welcome to apply for it. So in terms of sort of the here and now, because I don't want to dwell on the sort of past too much because I wasn't around to be part of it. But where I am right now is, you are quite right. In my literature, I have made reference to Pratt Bridge, along with a couple other community groups that provide really important services to the local community. And one of the things I've learned from being involved in the town council and raising funds for these sorts of groups, or kind of, standing up for them when we've had issues, is that because external community groups or charities aren't exactly that, they're not part of the council, the grant process for those sorts of groups can be quite cumbersome and not necessarily fit for purpose for lots of different reasons. And actually, some of those reasons you mentioned in our correspondence. So the first thing is, groups like Pratt Bridge need some certainty. So grant processes that may be 6 months long doesn't necessarily give that kind of peace of mind that there's a long-term financial plan there to support those sorts of groups. And also, generally speaking, grant schemes with local authorities, not just Dorset, most of them, very much leans on new community groups that are project focused. Doesn't necessarily benefit existing groups that need help with ongoing day-to-day costs. So I know, as Joe Neary mentioned in previous correspondence, that the Dorset Council does support elements of Pratt Bridge, like the food bank. And as I'm sure you probably are aware, Joe, the building itself is a Dorset Council building that is rented to Pratt Bridge, I believe, on a peppercorn rent. So I think their rent is like £1 a year or something. So Dorset Council does support Pratt Bridge in other ways. But in terms of, groups like Pratt Bridge needing an easier avenue to get funding, that's where my focus is. And your last comment about seeing evidence for those claims, I've done it. Quite simply, I've actually proven it's possible because I've recently done it when I secured funds for the CB3 bus. So every pledge and every thing that I say within my key points on my literature and my website and everything else is very, very thought out, based on what I think is achievable and on my experience as being a local candidate and being a local councillor here for 5 years. So there's nothing that I don't, there's nothing that I'm said that I'm going to do that I haven't really thought out and can hopefully try and evidence and achieve. So in your particular case, my kind of putting my money where my mouth is, so to speak, is that I have proven it is possible with other local groups. I have spoken to other councillor and councillor candidates, and I've put these ideas to them, and they tend to agree that my train of thought is the right way. So I can't promise the world. I can't promise that, I'll become ward councillor in May, and by June there'll be millions, being dished out to groups like Pratt Bridge. But what I can say right now is that I've got a plan with a method that I think is achievable. I've proven it works, and I want to take that to council and argue that we should be thinking differently about how we fund local groups like Pride Bridge. Because apart from anything else, I personally think Pride Bridge will do a better service than Dorset Council. So I don't really want Dorset Council to run it because I think they'll do a bad job. You know, people like Paula and her team are second to none. So why would we want to like lower that standard? But we need to support it properly. And yeah, I think it offers value for money to the taxpayer because, like I also said, with Bedminster Town Council, all of our money comes from precept. So we get no support from anywhere. So all the money that we give away to local groups are taxpayers' money. So if we can find a way to provide more certainty and easier funding to groups like Pride Bridge, which I think we can do, for me, that's value for money as well as providing a higher service than Dorset Council could.
Jo has followed on with some points that she would like your thoughts on.
Some of the points that you did make in your response with regards to 5-year funding commitments, I'm not against the idea. I think it might be difficult because obviously, generally speaking, councils run on annual budgets, but maybe you know, to start off with a year, like an annual budget or a 2-year budget would be achievable. But I get the idea and I agree with it. Principle of the question is obviously a longer term funding commitment, and I agree with that. It just depends how obviously Dorset Council budgets work, but that would be something that I would be arguing for as well as easier access to funding. What's the other one? Half of all second home hire council tax given every year to local charities offering essential services. So Dorset Council have actually increased council tax on second homes this year, and it's kicking in next year and the year after up to 200% by the end, I think. The issue with, as I would see it, in sort of allocating that fund to local charities is this year the council published a balanced budget, but it has used 12 million pound of reserves to balance that budget, and the increase in second home tax equates to about 8 million. So I think it's really important that we make sure that we're not spending money that we don't have, because that in the long term or medium term will be a lot worse for groups like Pratt Bridge. So I think in theory it sounds great, but I think we need to make sure that the finances would allow it before we spend what we don't have, if that makes sense.
Joe also says a guaranteed proportion of all council tax allocated by the town council to supporting young people whose voices and needs are underrepresented currently.
Yeah, so this is another interesting point. So the first thing I would say is obviously a decision on how council tax precept is sort of allocated and spent by the town council is for the town council. So I am currently the chairman, but it doesn't necessarily give me any further powers. I literally just chair the meeting, so it is a full council decision on anything like that. But I would leave that for a future council to decide on. But what I do agree with is I think giving a voice for younger people is really important. We have spoken to the secondary school recently because they have a youth council. So we are actually in contact with Bedminster to work with their youth council on some schemes and some projects that we're looking at moving forward. And actually, in recent times, meetings that I've chaired, the Bedminster Earth Alliance group, you might remember, H. We actually had pupils from Bedminster School on that council committee. So I am 100% up for more youth representation within our local council. So that I completely concur with. How the town council sort of allocate their funds in the future would be for them. But like I say, I would just bear in mind that that money that the town council gets is 100% from taxpayers. So the council just needs to be careful how they spend taxpayers' money, because obviously I'm sure most residents think that Pride Bridge is a great cause, but they'll also think other charities or other good causes as well. So it's not a straightforward one to answer for a town council, I don't think.
Just one more. A community fund that anyone in higher band council tax properties pays into support services for lower income and less secure households.
I mean, again, it's an interesting point. I think the problem with Something like that is council tax legislation is set by the government of the day. So the government basically tells local authorities how they charge council tax and by how much. So it wouldn't be in the gift of Dorset ca Council to say we want to create a community fund that's going to be funded by ha higher rate tax bands. It's just not legally possible. But that's why I think working within the current grants and funding processes is a better way of getting more secure funding to local community groups. Because Dorset do currently spend nearly 70% of all their budget on adult and youth social care. So it may well be that's one place that I'd stop to see what we can do around those budgets to see how we can support young people more.
Brill. What I'd say about all of this is Jo should be putting her nomination papers in to join Town Council.
Yes, absolutely, Joe. You need to join the town council because if I'm lucky enough to win the election in May, I would love to be scrutinised by residents like yourself when I come back to the town council as the ward councillor, and you can put these questions to me and hold my feet to the fire, so to speak. And the last thing I was just going to say, Rich, the last point that Joe makes here is that without some different thinking on this, we're at risk of losing Pratt Bridge and other local services. I completely agree. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I've hopefully outlined a tangible plan that's kind of evidence-based and proven to kind of work with funding I've secured from other local groups. And I am the only person talking about this stuff. I'm not aware of any other councillors, candidates talking about this stuff. I'm focused on these particular issues, and nobody else is. So, Joe, I completely agree with you, and I'm sure I will provide some of that different thinking. But great question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'd like to circle back to a couple of things if that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, what you've said is basically where Joe is saying that you are campaigning for greater available funding. Your look at kind of just summarise your answer is that basically you're going to be looking into improve the process to streamline those fundings to be more accessible
Yeah.
for groups like Prout Bridge.
Either sort of improve the process or even look at a completely new process.
Yeah.
And maybe both at
And
the
also,
same time.
and not to alienate existing groups when it seems that funding's only available for new groups and new projects. And that's another thing that has come across what you've said has been
Yeah.
a key thing that perhaps groups like Prout Bridge are coming up against because they're wanting, Dorset Council. And you also said you'll take it back to council. And just to clarify, you'll take that back to Dorset Council because I think there's a, it can be confusing because
Yeah.
when you'll take that back to council, that can sometimes mean town council. And when you
Yeah,
were
you're right.
answering one of the points about the funding specifically and saying it'll go back to council, you're referring to take it back to Dorset Council,
Yeah.
aren't you? Because that's as your position as a ward councillor.
Yes.
But the other thing, I just want you to briefly touch on is when you said, I where Joe has said, I can't see any evidence, and you said, the evidence is I've done it. And then you said, I've done it for CB3.
Yep.
What do you mean you've done it? Because
So the
I'd
CB.
like to know exactly what you mean by that.
Yeah. So the CB3 is an ongoing community group that's been set up under the umbrella of the town council, but it's essentially run by volunteers. Because it's an existing group, when you apply for grant funding through the usual grant routes that people like Pratt Bridge would also apply for, it's always focused on project-based stuff. So you need to you ask for X amount of pounds to pay for this. If you say I want X amount of pounds to pay for just paying the bills, the grant processes don't really accommodate for that. And using Pratt Bridge is a bit of an example. I'm guessing this, so I'd be happy to be corrected. But when you look at the recent funding process that Pratt Bridge went through, it's always target based because the system doesn't allow you just to say, can you give me 20 grand, please? Because we've got to pay the bills. So that's what I mean. What I did with the CB3 is I made an argument with a business case that to fund the ongoing core revenue costs of the CB3 is in itself feeding into Dorset Council's core objectives as a council. So it's about looking at what Dorset Council want to achieve and what we want to achieve and making those two kind of processes link. And I made that argument to say, we need help with the core revenue costs. And by helping us, we're going to provide X, Y, and Z, which feeds into your core objectives as a county council too. And they accepted my argument and said, yeah, so we're going to give you money to support the core revenue costs of the CB3, which is my proof that it can be done. You need to make the argument, and you need to, I guess, be able to articulate yourself in a way that you can kind of make these sorts of representations. So that's why it gets a bit technical, but essentially,
Yeah, but it's helpful, I think, to just
yeah.
slightly understand
And I think the important thing with
how
this is,
this means you're going to help.
yeah, and I think the important thing I would just say to this, Rachel, and for Joe's benefit and other people that listen to this as well, is that one thing I would say about Dorset Council when I speak to them about these sorts of issues is they always are positive and proactive in terms of their response. They want to provide this sort of help, and they're open to ideas on how they can make their policies and procedures better. But when you talk to Dorset Council, really you're talking to officers that enact the policies and procedures of past councils, right? So by being part of the council, I can help to reform those policies and give the powers and framework to officers to be able to say to people like Bredbridge, yeah, we'll help you pay the electric bill. And that's essentially what I'm talking about, sort of, changing it from within. And I definitely feel across all political party candidates, really, and Dorset Council themselves, there's a real appetite for this. Just needs the right person to make the right argument.
And that's I can see that's great. You've walked the walk, as so to speak. Lovely. We want more questions like this, don't we? Because it's really good for you to be able to direct your campaigning and your values as a ward councillor or ward candidate directly to the local residents, wouldn't it? So wouldn't it be great to have more questions? And we are getting them in, so it's
Yeah,
great.
absolutely.
Now, last week you said that everything was official, and that we were, and I actually said, does that mean that other people can then might just start coming up and putting themselves forward as candidates? And you said you hope that they do. And it turns out that we've now got a Labour candidate, and it's our lovely friend and former councillor of Bermondsey Town Council, Julie Cook. And
Yes.
we just wanted to acknowledge her, didn't we?
Absolutely. First of all, I take no praise for Julie standing. I'm sure Julie wasn't sat at home drinking a cup of tea, listening to our podcast, and thought, I'm going to stand. Well, maybe she did.
I'd like to think she was. I'd
Yeah, I agree.
rather we went with that image that she was listening to us
Yes.
and was like, I'll have a go at that,
Absolutely. No,
on the basis of what you said.
I'm genuinely really thrilled. Obviously, we both know Julie. I've worked with Julie as a town councillor. It's great to have two candidates who actually, who live in Bedminster and have a bit of a track record supporting Bedminster. Obviously, she's standing as the local Labour candidate. So, on some aspects of things, we might have a slightly different view. But one thing I can say about Julie is, having worked with her alongside her in council, I'm genuinely really pleased she's standing, because I think it's great to have another voice, another option for residents. And if she were to win, she'd be a great candidate as well. So welcome to the race, Julie. I'm genuinely really pleased to see you on the ballot paper, and all the best with your campaigning.
Yep, shout out to Julie. Good luck, Julie.
Shout out, Julie.
Yep.
Although not that loud. Yeah,
Brilliant.
brilliant.
Okay, well, thank you for that insight. I think it's been really useful to understand what that what really matters to the residents. And
Yeah.
let's just repeat the fact that we think Jo Robbins should be putting herself forward to join Town Council. And
Absolutely.
lovely. What have you got planned
Absolutely.
for next week? Have we got anything exciting in the pipeline, or is it more de leaflet? De leaflet?
The leaflets.
leaflet delivering.
I've got a few meetings later in the week to sort of discuss the next sort of steps of what we're going to be doing next. So maybe I'll share that with you next week. And I've got some meetings that I can't really share with you now, but I'll share with you next week, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, intriguing. Yeah, could be
Yes.
interesting. Could be boring, could be really interesting, but yeah. So yeah, lots of stuff I can't tell you about, but maybe I'll tell you next week. But
Okay.
people don't want to listen about what I'm doing. We want questions.
We do.
So
We
this will
do,
be some questions.
definitely. Well, I hope you're feeling better soon.
Thank you very much. Speak soon.
Bye. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes.